1 Chronicles 17. It happened that as David lived in his house, David said to Nathan the prophet, "Behold, I live in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of Yahweh is under curtains." Nathan said to David, "Do all that is in your heart, for God is with you." Now we're going to read that God then appears and says, "No, I don't want you to do what's in your heart, which is to build me a physical house." So you mustn't assume that you know the will of God. Nathan says, "Oh, yeah, do that. Yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah. God will think that's cool." But he doesn't. And this is where the Bible, as in the Word of God, has got to be given its full weight. Because if we just assume that, "Oh, in my gut feeling, I reckon that's a good idea. Oh, yeah, God would think that's cool." Not necessarily. Because we are flawed, we are weak, we are wrong so often in our thinking, and we need God's word to guide us. All the same, it was right of David to feel kind of bad in a way that he was there living in a nice house, whilst the Ark of God was just beneath curtains. So, the word of God came to Nathan saying, "Go and tell David my servant, thus says Yahweh, you shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not lived in a house since the day that I brought up Israel to this day, but have gone from tent to tent, from one tent to another. In all the places where I walked with all Israel, did I ever speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, saying, 'Why haven't you built me a house of cedar?' Now therefore you shall tell my servant David, thus says Yahweh of armies, I took you from the sheep pen, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make you a name like the name of the great ones who are in the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in their own place, and be moved no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more, as at the first. And from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will subdue all your enemies. Moreover, I tell you that Yahweh will build you a house." So, this is the trouble, that we all like to do works rather than believe in what God will do for us. David said, "I want to build you a house." And God says, "No, I don't want a physical house of bricks and mortar, but I will build you a house in the sense of a family. Let me do something for you." Now, although at the time David accepts what God says, that you can't build a house for God, you can't contain God in a building, although he accepts it, yeah, he still wants to do it. And eventually he plans for the temple and Solomon builds it, etc. But it wasn't really helpful to the people because they ended up worshipping idols in that temple. In Ezekiel's time, he sees visions of them inside the temple offering up sacrifices and incense to other gods. And yet they loved their temple. They said, "The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." And then when it was destroyed, they said, "Oh, our beautiful house has been destroyed." And yet it didn't actually help them to serve God. And so there are times when God lets people do what they really want, even though it's not maybe the best. For example, Israel said, "We want to have a king." And God said through Samuel, "But if you have a human king, you're rejecting me as your king." "Oh, no, we want a king." Okay. God says, "I gave you a king in my anger and took him away in my wrath." That is, God went along with them. Okay, he gave them a human king. But it actually made their relationship with him somewhat more distant. And it was the same with the temple. He said, "I don't want a temple." But they wanted to have a temple. Okay, so they had a temple. But it didn't help them to God. It's like in the parable of the prodigal son. The son comes to the father and says, "Give me my share of the money." And the father gives it to him, knowing surely that the boy was going to go and waste it. And so what you've got to watch for is what you really want, because in a strange way you might get it. And so the desire of our heart should be to glorify God, to glorify Jesus, to do his work, to do his will, and to please him. And if that is what we really want, then he will empower us to do that. But that must be the absolute deepest desire of our heart. So God says, I want to build you a house. And it shall happen, when your days are fulfilled, that you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who shall be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne for ever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. So, this is interpreted in the New Testament as talking about Jesus. Because God says to David, you're going to have a descendant, and I'll be his father. And he'll be my son, but he'll also be your descendant, your son. So the only way that could work out is if a woman who was in the literal line of David became pregnant with God's son without a man involved. And that's just what happened when Mary, who was in the direct line of David, became pregnant with Jesus by the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't believe that Jesus existed before he was born. Because he's promised here, and he only came into existence when Mary became pregnant with Jesus. I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever. His throne shall be established forever. And that's quoted by the angel when Gabriel appears to Mary and says, you're going to have a son, he's going to be the son of David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So this promise was fulfilled really in Jesus. But of course, David wanted it to be fulfilled in Solomon, and maybe it could have been in a certain extent, to a certain extent in some way. But Solomon failed. According to all these words, so Nathan spoke to David. Then David the king went in and sat before Yahweh, and he said, who am I, Lord God, and what is my house, my family, that you've brought me thus far? So that's just how we should feel. When we see and realize the great promise of salvation, who am I? Who on earth am I? That I should live forever, that I should have a part in this, that God should have given me such a blessing. So who am I, O Lord God? And this was even a small thing in your eyes, O God. You have spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have respected me according to the estate of a man of high degree, Lord God. What can David say more to you concerning the honour which is done to your servant? You know your servant. That's how we should feel at times in our praise, when we're kneeling, praying to God. God, you know how much I praise you. You know how I feel. I can't praise you anymore. You know my heart. And I hope that we all have those moments of very deep gratitude to God, where you just have to say to God, you know how I feel. I can't say it in any more words. You know, you just look at my heart, God, and you know how grateful I am. And it's that gratitude to God which is really important if we're God's children. And it's really important to have that gratitude. That's why giving thanks for food is the minimum that we can do. And that's why we should be serious about giving thanks to God. But we should also thank God in our own prayers, that in our own prayers, there shouldn't just be lists of give me this, give me that. Oh, I need this. Oh, please give me that. But also thanking God, gratitude, to the point where you say, God, you know my heart. You know how grateful I am. I can't put it in words anymore. Just look in my heart. Yahweh, there is none like you, neither is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. What single nation on the earth is like your people Israel, whom God went to redeem to himself for a people, to make you a name by great and awesome things, and driving out nations from before your people, whom you redeemed out of Egypt? For your people Israel, you made your very own people forever, and you, Yahweh, became their God. So we are God's very own. We are his. So man is not alone in this world, but we are God's people. It's wonderful. Now, Yahweh, let the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as you have spoken. Let your name be established and magnified forever, saying, Yahweh of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. The house of David, your servant, is established before you. For you, my God, have revealed to your servant that you will build him a house. Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray before you. Now, Yahweh, you are God, and have promised this good thing to your servant. It has pleased you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue for ever before you. For you, Yahweh, have blessed, and it is blessed for ever. So if God blesses, it's forever. God doesn't just make promises and then not fulfill them. That's something that annoys us and disappoints us, isn't it, about people. They make promises, then they don't fulfill them. But God is not like that. If he blesses, it is forever. And it's his blessing, therefore, that we seek. And it's his blessing that we have in Jesus.